Hello and welcome to the East Dulwich Tabernacle Bible Class lesson recording for this week. My name is David South. Thank you for listening to the lesson today. We do miss seeing you face to face and look forward to the day when we can all meet with each other at church. Do keep in touch with us and each other. One way is to take the quiz for each lesson. Thank you to those who have done so over past weeks. You're giving some good answers. Keep it up. You can call up the quiz from the EDT website, and if you have a question, these can also be asked. Before I start the lesson, I remind you that we do have the supporting Bible reading sheet which supplements this lesson. These can be downloaded from the website for you to have a copy, so that you can remind yourself of the main lesson points, and also pray and read a portion of God's Word each day throughout the week. This is very important. To stay alive, you eat food and drink regularly. Your soul has a spiritual appetite, and it is essential that you should feed it by reading and meditating upon God's inspired word. This week, we have a second revision lesson. I will start with a short prayer, then read the Bible passage which supports the lesson. Today, I will leave the reading of our hymn until after the lesson. We're aware that this coronavirus can attack all ages, even healthy teenagers. Remember, our life and soul belong to God, and He determines our lifespan. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come humbly before You in prayer, acknowledging that Thou art the Almighty Sovereign God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We humbly acknowledge that our lives and eternal souls are in Thy hands. We thank You that You are the only one who can help us through the challenges of life, especially through this time of lockdown and danger. As the Almighty and All-Powerful God, we look to Thee to save us, to keep us spiritually, as well as strong in body and in mind. We pray that if any of our family or friends are ill, that You will have mercy upon them and bring them through this experience to strong health. We thank You for those who have recovered. We pray for comfort to be given to all who grieve over the death of a loved one. We bow before Thee at this troubled time and ask that Thou wilt keep us and our loved ones safe. We acknowledge that our lives are in Thy hand. Please help us to listen carefully and to take notice of Thy gracious call to repentance and faith. We thank You for Your interest in us and ask that we will bow to the teaching of Your word, for these are the very words of life to our souls. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of His name. Amen. We now turn to our Bible reading. So I hope you've got your Bible with you, but if not, pause the recording, go and get it, and open it at Psalm 115. Psalm 115. As you know, the book of Psalms is in the middle of your Bible. And we'll read the whole psalm. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and for evermore. Praise the Lord. We trust the Lord will bless us from that reading of his inspired word and grant us all understanding. We now come to our revision lesson 92b. We're revising all the people we have considered over the last few weeks because they can be identified as being in one of two groups, unbelievers, believers. There are only these two groups of people in the world, as far as God is concerned. Currently, there's a lot of clamour for race equality. Sadly, this is borne along by anger and violence. The history of the world is full of man's inhumanity to man. All this is sin. Every country has a history of things they have done and would or should now regret. History is full of ethnic cleansing, one group trying to kill all of another group, slavery, cruel domination of one ideology over another, world dominance, etc. The biggest problem is that God is ignored and left out of the thinking of the majority. People with true Christian beliefs have always stood against these atrocities. We remind ourselves that God does not separate people into any of the following groups: nationality, race, culture, language, gender, male or female, age, education, wealth, social position, or even the time when they lived upon this earth. God created the human race, one people, but sin has spoilt this. God in his word has given us clear guidelines as to what the difference is between unbelievers and believers. Unbelievers have the following in common. They have selfish, greedy, and proud attitudes. No care for what they think, say, or do. They live taking all for themselves as if God, their creator, does not exist. They foolishly have no thought for their God-given souls or its eternal destiny. They only live for the here and now, no thought of eternal judgment of their sin. God sees all these traits in an individual unbeliever. He calls them to repentance. Believers, Christians, have the following in common. They have a heartfelt concern and regret for the guilt of their sin before the Holy Creator God. They humbly have sought and found God's forgiveness for their sin. They have a certain hope of heaven. They have received the gift of faith from God, enabled to believe that Christ died for them. They have teachable heart, believing God's word, obeying it, praying daily, and serving him. They have a desire to fellowship and worship with other believers, turning from worldly ways. God looks on the individual believer's heart to see if all of these are present. As we review some of the main points from these lessons, please consider in which group each one falls into. Also, more importantly, please think which group you are currently in. And remember, we all start as unbelievers from birth. In doing this, we will be learning about the biblical principle of Christian discernment. To do this, we must learn the principles that God has made clear to us in the Bible. In doing so, we must avoid the error which so many make by making our own rules on this. We must also not let our discernment be contaminated with pride. Once pride comes in, our discernment becomes judgmental. One finger points while 3 point back to ourselves. Remember, the scripture tells us that God looks on the heart. So we must also examine our own heart and repent our own sin. We can and must, in love, point out another's error, showing them relevant scriptures. But this is counterproductive if we ourselves are acting very sinfully. We're not to try to see if we are better than others or if they are worse than us. If what others do is against God's standard, then we must not copy them. The Bible is very clear that the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23, that beautiful promise of eternal heaven. We must remember that it is God's prerogative alone to judge. Our responsibility, if we are a Christian, is to discern using biblical principles. If we claim to be a Christian believer, then our responsibility is to ensure that we show to God and to all around us that we are living out all the biblical characteristics of a true Christian. We must seek to live like Jesus Christ did. The Holy Spirit dwells in the believer's heart, but withdraws while sin rules. Our lessons over the recent weeks covered the conquest of Canaan under Joshua, followed by the time of the judges. We learnt about Ruth. Do you remember her circumstances? How did she come to know Naomi? Yes, there was famine in Bethlehem, and this had driven Elimelech and Naomi to the land of Moab, a land where people worshipped idols and not the one true God of Israel. Can you remember the sad things which happened? You remember that Elimelech and Naomi had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, who grew up and married Orpah and Ruth. Some very sad events overtook them. What happened? Yes, sadly, Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion died, leaving Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth as widows, with no one in Moab to support them. Who was in control of all their affairs? Yes, the sovereign God. He would work good for them from these very sad events. What did the Lord lead faithful Naomi to do? Yes, Naomi planned to return to Bethlehem. Orpah and Ruth had a decision to make. What did they make? Well, Ruth had heard of the one true God from Naomi and had turned from her idol worship and found forgiveness from the Lord. She chose to return with Naomi. Orpah felt she should stay in her familiar surroundings, keeping her idol gods. Are you clinging to your worldly ways, to your own idols, as Orpah did? Are you losing out on the forgiveness of your sins by not trusting in Jesus Christ? Let's continue. How did God show his kindness to Naomi and Ruth? Well, you remember that at Bethlehem, Ruth began to glean for corn in Boaz's fields. This is not coincidence. This is not a chance. This is the kind overruling of the Lord God. Ruth was introduced to Boaz. What relationship did Boaz have with Naomi and Ruth? Well, he was their kinsman redeemer. Hebrew law said that he had to care for them. Boaz was a believer in God, and he saw that Ruth was a believer too, and so he showed her kindness, eventually marrying her. How was this God's kindness? God has a plan for all his people. Ruth was in that plan. Ruth was blessed by God for her faithfulness. By marrying Boaz, she became the grandmother of David and was in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great blessing. Ruth was redeemed, saved by the Lord, blessed for her faithfulness, and became a member of God's family. Orpah lost everything by turning back to the false gods of Moab. I am sure that you have been building the picture up all along that Ruth must be placed among those who believe. She certainly exhibited all the signs of a true believer. Let's take note. This is a picture of how we must seek the Lord. We are poor and needy sinners, so we must bow down at his feet, calling upon the mercy of God, asking him to forgive us our sin, and to cover us with the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Will you come to the Lord in repentance and faith today? Or will you cling to the man-made gods of this world, which cannot save? The Lord Jesus said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Mark 8:34. We now turn in our exercise of discernment to Samuel. Firstly, before he was born, his mother Hannah had a problem. Can you remember what it was? Yes, she was barren, had no children. She desired a child and prayed to God for one. What was the promise she made to God in her prayer? She prayed, "O Lord of hosts, remember me, give me a child, and I will give him to thee. Yes, if God will give her a son, she promised to give him back to God. How selfless! She was prepared to give back to God that which she desired most. God wonderfully answers her prayer of faith. Samuel is given to God by Hannah. Hannah kept her vow to give her son to the Lord to serve in the tabernacle. How did Samuel behave as he served Eli, the high priest? Yes, he was well behaved. But was he a believer at this time? No, not yet. Despite his good behavior, and it says in 1 Samuel 3 verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. At night, something very strange happened, which would not happen today. What was that? Well, at night, God called Samuel, Samuel. And this happened three times. Who did Samuel think was calling him? Yes, Samuel thought it was Eli. But on the third occasion, Eli realized that it was the Lord calling Samuel. We will not have this experience of God calling us audibly today, but we will hear him when we begin to hear gospel truth. A Savior has died to save sinners. When we believe that he died to save me, taking the guilt of all my sin upon himself on the cross. When we are ashamed of how offensive our sin is, we want to be forgiven by God. When we repent, believing this message, that it is for me, God loves me so much. John 3:16, those famous, well-known words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is this your experience? This is personal. Have you heard God calling you? Is your conscience being pricked that you should respond and seek forgiveness? What was the advice that Eli gave to Samuel when he heard God calling him? Let us follow Eli's advice to Samuel and respond as Samuel did. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord, recognizing that God's truth is of vital importance to our soul. Thy servant heareth, with humbled souls prepared to listen and obey and to pray with the following elements in our prayer. Dear Lord, I believe what the Bible teaches about me and my sin. I believe that the Lord Jesus loves me and came from heaven to die in my place. Lord, I ask you to forgive me all my sin. Receive me and give me a new heart to love you. From now onwards, I promise to live in obedience to thy commands and to serve thee daily as thy willing servant. I trust you might be able to pray that prayer. Don't just copy it. May it come from your heart. Returning to Samuel, how did Samuel live his life? Well, all through his life, as God's prophet, he faithfully and humbly served the Lord. Can you remember some ways Samuel faithfully and humbly served God? He made a stand for God's way when confronted with difficulties. Samuel's new faith was soon tested. He stood against Eli's rebellious sons. God told him to tell Eli that the priesthood would be removed from his family because of their sin. Samuel obeyed, telling God's words to Eli in love. Samuel had to stand firm against King Saul's sinful pride and wickedness. Power had not corrupted Samuel. He lived in deep respect of God's holy standards. Samuel was consistent in his faith and trust in God. Are we consistent in our belief? Samuel was tested to prove that he did know God. He passed the test. Do we know God? The Lord asked us to speak of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to others, to turn away from this world's evil attractions, to put Christ first in everything we do, to read and prayerfully obey his word, to sing his praise and serve him. Do we do this? We too must be like Samuel. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15. To close, we turn in our exercise of discernment to Saul. What did the people want? Well, you know, the people demanded a king, a ruler, and a judge in place of God. We note that Samuel is now approaching the end of his life as priest and prophet and judge. The people had so much to thank God for and to thank Samuel for, yet they were dissatisfied. They demanded from Samuel a king, didn't they? Who did they want to be like? Well, the rebellious people demand a king, rejecting God's gracious rule of leadership, freedom, and fairness, and they wanted to be like other nations who had a king. Both Samuel and God were offended. These were certainly not people of faith. God said to Samuel, "They have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me." Are we unbelievers who reject God's rule, ignoring him and wanting our own way? Note, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31. Saul's pride and unbelief brought his downfall, and through it he lost eternity. What was Saul like when Samuel first met him? Yes, he was a humble farmer's son, outwardly desirable, tall, strong, good-looking. God gave Saul wonderful opportunities for a blessed and useful life. He became very popular, victorious in battle. But what began to show? Yes, his pride. And how did it show? Pride caused him to take all the credit for victory to himself instead of giving it all to God. Pride caused him to think he was worthy and could do anything, expecting God to be pleased with him despite his disobedience. I wonder if you can remember how this proud heart affected him, because his pride opened him up to every other sin. He rejected God, rebelling against his word and his commands. Do you remember what he did before a battle when Samuel was delayed? Saul impatiently assumed the priest role, sacrificing to God, sinning greatly. He knew this was wrong, but he went ahead and did it. Are we like this, pushing ahead with our own thoughts, without them being God's will? Do you remember what he did after a battle and what God had commanded? Yes, he disobeyed God by keeping the Amalekites' possessions and keeping their evil king Agag alive. What did Samuel say to Saul? "What hast thou done?" The Lord God says that to us. What hast thou done? Let's examine our hearts before him and repent of our sin. When challenged by Samuel, Saul made excuses, blaming others for his sin. Saul's sin was exposed as Samuel meets him. Saul used deceit. He tried to cover up. "I have kept God's commandment," he said. Saul blamed others. The people decided to keep the best animals. Saul made hopeless excuses. He lied. "We kept the animals for sacrifice to God." It is a common human trait to make all sorts of excuses for sin. But God looks on the heart and looks for repentance. Saul became a moody, vicious, and evil-tempered man. He was even against his own son, Jonathan, who seemed to be winning battles, and he was jealous of him, and he threatened to put him to death. He forced Samuel to retreat from him. His kingdom was torn by civil war. Do you remember who Saul consulted in the place of God? Yes, driven to despair, Saul turned his back on God and secretly consulted a witch, a fortune teller. Saul, suffering a great disastrous defeat in a battle, eventually takes his own life. 1 Samuel 31. Beware of being proud like Saul. It will only bring us down with tragic consequences. Did Saul show the characteristics of a humble, faithful believer? Absolutely not. Let's prayerfully discern. Am I like faithful Ruth and Samuel, who believed? Or like the rebellious people and proud Saul, who refused to believe? We may well be strongly minded against Saul, accusing him of great sin. But remember, the pointing finger has three pointing back at us. We must acknowledge that we all start life as rebel sinners, but God graciously offers forgiveness to all who will sincerely repent and turn to him. Have we done this yet? Are we a sincere Christian and in that faithful group? Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1, 16, 17. So, just to remind us, the biblical characteristics of believers. They have heartfelt concern and regret for the guilt of their sin before the Holy Creator God. They humbly seek Him, and they have found God's forgiveness for their sins. They have a certain hope of heaven. They have received the gift of faith from God, enabled to believe that Christ died for them. They have teachable hearts, believing God's word, obeying it, praying daily, and serving Him. A desire to fellowship and worship with other believers, turning from worldly ways. God looks on the individual believer's heart to see if all of these are present. I said I'd leave the hymn to after the lesson. So, our hymn reminds us that submission to the Lord Jesus Christ brings forgiveness and peace. It is hymn 404 in our church hymn book. Ruth and Samuel could sing this meaningfully from their hearts. Saul could not sing it. Can you sing it with meaning? I bring my sins to thee, the sins I cannot count, that I now cleansed may be in thy once opened fount. I bring them, Saviour, all to thee. The burden is too great for me. My heart to thee I bring, the heart I cannot read, a faithless, wandering thing, an evil heart indeed. I bring it, Saviour, now to thee, that fixed and faithful it may be. My life I bring to thee. I would not be my own. O Saviour, may I be thine ever, thine alone. My heart, my life, my all I bring to thee, my Saviour and my King. In closing, the Bible clearly tells us that there is judgment to come. We do not know when this will be, but world events indicate it could be soon. The current coronavirus pandemic is a warning from God that we are not really in charge of our destiny. As no one has kept God's holy commandments, we are all guilty, and God's holy justice will not allow us to enter heaven. But thankfully, God, in His mercy and grace, offers a way of forgiveness. God the Son, Jesus Christ, came from heaven as a perfect man and has perfectly kept the law. He came and died on the cross of Calvary, where He took the full punishment for the guilt of the sin of every sincere believer. If we repent and believe that He died for us, taking our guilt upon Himself, giving us in exchange His righteousness, then we are saved and will stand in the judgment day. Our place in eternal heaven is assured. Come to Him now. Why delay? There is danger. Tomorrow may be too late. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You that today is the day of grace, when You continue to give us the opportunity to come to You in repentance and faith. Convict us, Lord. Quicken us by Thy Holy Spirit. Give us faith. Cause us to repent now, so that we do not delay until it is too late. Help us to learn from the proud and disastrous attitude of Saul. Humble us and show us that pride is the mother of many sins, and will keep us away from Your mercy and forgiveness. O Lord, please grant us faith that we may follow Ruth and Samuel, Rahab and Gideon, and find lasting forgiveness for our sins. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of His name. Amen. Now it just remains for me to encourage you to read your Bibles every day following the readings on the sheet. Do pray, asking God to help you meditate upon the truth you have read. Ask yourself, what has this passage said about God and His attributes? Is there a promise here, a warning? What has the passage said about me and my sin and God's attitude to this? What has the passage said about God's mercy, offering forgiveness through His Son on the cross? Seek His forgiveness and ask for faith. Remember, look for the next recorded lesson every Sunday. We will draw your attention to Pastor's ministry on the EDT website, eastdulwichtabernacle.org. Also, we now have messages on YouTube, East Dulwich Tabernacle YouTube. Do join us Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for the evangelistic service and also for the teaching service at 6 p.m. On Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m., Pastor is opening up the Ten Commandments to us. These are well worth listening to. Thank you for listening today. Remember to listen again next week. And do answer the quiz questions and feel free to ask a question. We look forward to hearing from you. Goodbye.